Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. Coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome to the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time. And you know what? We tell the stories of winning. And many times in entrepreneurship, those stories have the bumps in the road, the trough of sorrow, as I like to call it. We all start off with a dream, but then somewhere along the way, it gets a little rocky, it gets a little bumpy, and we have to battle through it. But we share those stories, and today is no exception. In fact, today, we are going to have a special treat for you today. But before I begin to share today's stories, I have to say that I'm missing my main man, Marcus Haney. Marcus is out on assignment, so I am going solo today. So wish me luck, my friends. But today is also Mother's Day weekend. So just a shout out to all the mothers out there who are supporting the families, helping glue together their families, and doing all the things that us guys cannot do in so many cases. So just a shout out to Mother's Day and to my wife specifically, who is a great mother. She's a grandmother, and I'm missing her right now. She is in Europe with her mother doing some fun stuff, so I'm alone this year on Mother's Day. So, you know, Mother's Day, my wife, Stacy, if you're listening, you are not going to have to clean up the kitchen on this Mother's Day, right? When you get home, you know what? I'll have you do the dishes then. I'll leave them for you. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, I wouldn't be anywhere without my wife, and I wouldn't be anywhere without my mother as well. And at the end of the show today, I'll have a special tribute to my mom and to the ripple effect that I think so many people make in their families and in our community. But today, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about legacy. We're going to be talking about the impact that that somebody can have on their community and on their family. And I have to also today talk about gratitude, right? This is for our marquee media moment today. I have to do a special shout out to the guys that own Marquee Media. Jeff Joaquin, Michael Wagoner, you own the billboard company out there that is helping making me a little bit more famous, giving me a little bit of a chance to get myself known a little bit, to help inspire the entrepreneurs of Sacramento and of the region. So thank you, Marquee Media. I appreciate what you do for every one of us that's trying to grow our business, and I appreciate what you're doing for me as well. And today, again, what a show today. We are privileged today to be sharing one of the most iconic stories of Sacramento business. But coming up a little bit later in the show, we will bring on Steve Brandkamp, the sales director of United Natural Foods. But coming after the break, we will meet the CEO of the Raley's Grocery Store Group, Mike Teal. And we will share with you the story of the most iconic family business in the region. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to Marquee Media Studio and the Haney Biz Project with your host, Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. And today, I have the privilege of being joined by Mike Teal, the owner and CEO of the Raley's family of companies. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, I started thinking about this. You know, you and I don't know each other well, but people come up to me once in a while and say, oh, okay, you're Mark? Okay, so what do you do for a living? And I always say, well, I'm a small business guy, but I've got this entrepreneurial radio show. And people, it's a great conversation starter. I'm wondering what it's like, people meet you and don't know you, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm Mike. What do you do for a living? I own Raley's. How did, what is that Does that stop people in their tracks?
I usually don't start with that.
What do you say? Hey, Mike, good to meet you. What do you do for a living, Mike?
I'm in the healthcare business. That's what I say. And I operate 130, I've lost count.
A lot of stores?
Yeah, supermarkets, and that kind of throws them.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting. Well, today, we've been trying to get you on the program for the last 2.5 years. We finally made it happen today.
Don't take it
personal. Thank you, Chelsea Miner, for making this happen. Thank you, Marquee Media, as well. But if you don't mind, take us back in time. When did you first get interested in Raley's?
Wow. Well, my first recollection of my grandfather, I was probably about 5 years old, and it was my birthday. And I remember him showing up, driving up the street where we live. And I was always excited about the present he would bring, because on my birthday, I would get a $100 bill.
Wow.
And obviously, as a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, you know, your parents aren't gonna let you.
What are you gonna do with $100?
But the thrill of seeing $100 bill was pretty impressive, and kind of made a mark on me. It was actually my first adventure or learning about the value of money, because that money went into a savings account.
Okay,
and I wasn't able to spend it. So my parents were really good at teaching the five of us. I have 4 younger sisters, the value of money. But as long as I can remember growing up, I was always being the only male heir. We didn't have quite the freedom of thought back then.
Okay.
In the 50s. So there was a lot of expectations that were placed on me as a child. Not only by peers, but mostly by people that were older than me talking to me. Mm-hmm. And particularly when I started working in the stores, because I started very young as a family member to experience what work was like in a store. There were expectations that were communicated to me. And I spent most of my early years resenting that.
Ah. How were they communicated to you? Was it harsh criticism? Was it motivation? What was it?
It was a gamut. From if I was you, I'd be sitting by the poolside sipping cocktails and things like that. To one day you're going to run this company and you're going to own it someday. So it was a broad gamut from A to Z. And I think I kind of grew up with an expectation that I would always be part of it, but I spent my early years in my late teens and 20s rejecting that and saying, no, you know what? I want to go out and be my own person, mm-hmm. because I didn't really have any self-identity. And it's not well known, but I've had 3 careers at Raley's.
Okay.
My first career was out of college. Worked in the business when we had acquired our first chain in Nevada, Eagle Thrifty. Learned and experienced what it was like to see a business integrate another business. It was a great learning experience for me. Lived up in Reno for a couple of years. And then my next career, I left. I left in the business after about, 76 to 83. I left in 83, so it was 4 or 5 years. And I actually left because I really didn't see a pathway to finding myself. Mm-hmm. And it was being run by my grandfather. Sort of, he kind of stepped back by then. He was still coming to work every day. He came to work until basically he couldn't in his late 80s. But my father was involved in the company. He wasn't running it. It was being run by an outside family member, Chuck Collings, who's my mentor. A great man, and Frank McMinn, who's known as the voice of Raley's. And the three of them really were in the prime of their life and growing the company. And I just didn't have enough self-respect, didn't see how I could ever live up to the likes of these big men.
Yes.
And so I left, and I moved to Seattle and lived in Seattle for 6 years. And it was on that adventure that I gained my own self-worth and realized I had something to offer the company. And when the family knocked on the door 6 years later and said, we're planning the succession of this company, it's growing rapidly and it's going to leave you behind, do you want to be a part of it?
And I said, so you had proved yourself to yourself in Seattle. And actually, they came recruiting you. You had been successful enough, but they came back recruiting you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And, okay, so that's probably when you got excited about, okay, they want me, I've got a seat at the table, and then how did your career take off from there?
Well, they put me in a fast track. Most of the executives were aging. I had a lot of gray-haired executives that I worked with. I was part of the executive committee, helped the business build a strategic plan. That was one of my first chores. And then actually, after the strategic plan was built, a big component of that was succession planning and started the actual replacement of senior executives. And I, during that process, I worked with every major department within the company, marketing, operations, accounting, and learned what it was like. Learned the needs, learned the strengths and the weaknesses, and it helped me when it came time for retiring executives to replace people that could actually do a good job. And it was through that journey of 6 years in the 80s that I took on an operations role, became chief operating officer for the company, and then ultimately the president, and then ultimately the president and CEO when my mentor Chuck retired.
So taking over as president and CEO, what year would that have been?
I've been in the late 95-98 time frame, right before the dot-com boom of 2000. And our company actually, we had a plan to double the size of the company. It was a plan that I had built with the then transitioning executive team. And we went from $1.5 billion to $3 billion in less than 5 years. It was a massive growth on a lot of acquisitions, many of which we have spun off over the decades with the ups and downs of the economy. It was a stressful time. I was in my mid-40s to late-40s, and it was not something that I look back on. It was a great learning experience, but I made some mistakes, and I realized that if I had been any other individual than a family member, I'd have been fired because of those mistakes. And I decided for my own self-worth, I needed to leave. And so I left the business. That was my second time out.
Okay.
And I worked on the things that I felt I needed to work on as an individual. I was repairing my marriage and trying to understand what led to some of those mistakes within my personal life that I don't regret. They were great learning experiences. And I think that's one, if there was any advice that I would give to anybody that's in the stress of rapidly growing and changing business, it's recognize that stress brings down your ability to cope with things, and your flaws tend to creep out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time to learn and understand why that happens, what causes that to happen, and work on the things that you can change in life.
Yeah. Thinking about mentors, obviously you were influenced by your grandfather. You have your father, your mother. With it being Mother's Day weekend, I'm wondering how you might contrast the influence from the three.
Well, my mother is a very dominant personality in my life. She was an only child, and the whole kind of family revolved around her prior to getting married. And my dad is a quiet man. He's a quiet leader. He's a background kind of guy. He doesn't like the limelight. I take after both of them, but I do enjoy the limelight a little bit. My dad would never be here. My mother would love this kind of event. She loves to talk. So my mom had a big influence on me, but it wasn't until my late 40s that I understood my mom. I didn't really like my mom much, which is really interesting. I blamed her for a lot of my own problems. But I came to the conclusion that my mom is a very courageous woman. She fights her weaknesses. She works on the things that she knows how to she doesn't understand, and she changes those things, because you can't change the people around you. You can only change yourself. And that was a great role model for me, and it caused me to persevere and wait for the things I wanted in my life. And a lot, as you know, Mark, a lot of things are waiting. You wait for things. It takes a lot of patience sometimes, but it also takes a lot of hard work. And I learned a lot of that from my mom. I think I got my patience from my dad. My dad is a very, very patient man, and he waits. He's also a hands-off guy. He's he grew up in the school laissez-faire, which means hands-off, let things be the way they are. And he is known within the business for the many years that he worked in the business to just let things take their own course and gently steer them and be patient with things. And I judged him a lot for that. I was kind of impatient and wanted things to change. And I learned that I had to just stand back and wait a little bit more and have faith that right decisions would be made and steer and guide where it's appropriate.
This is you're listening to the Haney Biz Project. We're here with Mike Teal, the CEO of Raley's, the owner, a man who is helping us to all feel a little bit more self-reflective today as we approach this Mother's Day weekend, as we think about our businesses. We're going to come back with more of Mike in just a minute. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio with Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. I'm Mark Haney, and I have the privilege today of being rejoined by Mike Teal, the CEO of Raley's. We've been talking about taking a trip down memory lane, and I'm wondering when you first felt like it was your company. You put your signature on the company, and it was yours to lead.
Well, when I left in 2000, around 2002, and started focusing on my personal life, I eventually got things in somewhat of an order, and I started to get back in business, and that's when I experienced what small business was like, and got involved with Prosper Business Magazine. And my own adventure in the grocery business called Good Eats for a while. And I learned, that's where I learned I'm not a detail guy.
Okay.
And that was a great revelation.
Are you a dreamer?
I'm a dreamer, yeah. And I like to leave the details to others. And that was a big awakening for me. And it really helped me when time came to come back. And in 2008 or 9, the business was suffering. There had been no family leadership for some time other than at the board level. And the economy was obviously on a mega downtrend. And we had kind of lost our way a little bit. And I fought to get back into the business, but the business was a little bit reluctant to let me back. And I eventually got back by just sitting back and waiting. That patience piece, you know, not trying to force things, but just wait. And in 2010, the opportunity became available to join the business, rejoin as a CEO, and lead a turnaround. And I had a basic idea and understanding of what needed to occur. We needed to get back to our roots, great customer service. We had the best employees in the world, I believe.
Yes.
And great quality products, and focus on that. And that helped us regain our sense of what we are and our sense of value, and focus our efforts on delivering great results. And we managed to take extremely negative performance and turn it into positive performance within about a year and a half. And it was during that time frame that I realized, I just might have an opportunity to acquire this company. And so I started taking inventory. I knew that if I did acquire the company, I'd be working for a really long time, God willing. And I thought I would need something to keep me engaged because I'm a little bit ADHD and I like to bounce around a lot. So I knew that it would take something meaningful. And that's when I took an inventory and looked back on my life. And I saw a thread running through it for about 20 or 30 years that involved health and wellness from many different aspects, from the birth of my first child, which I wanted to have at home and couldn't because of a cesarean, but worked hard to try to make that happen, to alternative means of prevention in your life. And then as I got into my late 40s and 50s, focusing on longevity and realizing, oh, I'm starting to age here. I want to live long. And so that thread was translated into a mission. And that's when we decided at Raley's we were going to become a purpose-driven company, meaning the reason why we come to work every day is going to be about a purpose. And that took the formulation of infusing life with health and happiness. A bit nebulous, but it was meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. And it soon became more meaningful for the rest of the organization as we explained it over a period of time.
How do you explain that to a team of thousands?
That's a great question. Well, you start with a mission statement, infusing life with health and happiness, and then we amended it with a story by changing the way the world eats one plate at a time. And I began to preach that message that I believed that Little Raley's could actually change the world. And it went back to a childhood movie in the 50s in school where in order to teach us about nuclear fission during the Cuban crisis, mm-hmm. they created this movie for kids where they would fill this room full of mouse traps. And on every mouse trap, there was a ping pong ball. And that ping pong ball was a neutron or a proton. And the scientists would throw this ping pong ball in the room and all the mouse traps would just go off one at a time. You know, balls bouncing, thousands of them bouncing all over the room. And I realized, I came to the conclusion that every time we make a competitive decision on our purpose for health and wellness, somebody reacts. That ping pong ball, and then somebody else reacts, and then somebody else reacts. And so eventually your competitive decisions are changing the world mm-hmm. indirectly. And so we're making those kinds of decisions around our mission and purpose of health and wellness by removing cigarettes and removing soda from the registers, removing candy bars from the registers. And ultimately, I believe if we stay true to our mission, which I believe we will, we'll have a major impact on the health of our society in this world.
If you were to like close your eyes and extrapolate that out, what would that look like for Sacramento? What might that look like for just the people that are impacted by Raley's?
Well, obviously we'd be healthier, and I hope I think when we're healthier, we're happier, and it means people are thinking about food. Food really does matter. In your health, it makes a big impact what you eat and what, more importantly, what you don't eat.
Okay.
And it's really hard for us to make those decisions oftentimes because we're inundated with all kinds of products that are filled with ingredients that are really not very good for you. And it's very difficult for the consumer today to shop our stores. We're trying to change that by our shelf guide system, which points out products that are minimally processed, because minimally processed food is better for you. Products that have nutrient density, lots of nutrients and not a lot of additives. You can see that on our shelves, but you have to wade through all kinds of other products, which makes it very difficult. And we have a brand image, Mark, that people expect when they come into the store to get something.
Yeah,
you know, that may not be healthy for them.
Yes, that's my, I have a few bad habits that I shop at Raley's to pick up. You got a few things in there that aren't healthy.
Right, I got quite a
thank you for that, by the way. But actually, I really respect what you're doing with your purpose. And so I'm even eating healthier these days because I shop at Raley's.
Well, thank you. But that led my frustration with shopping our own stores. Led to the innovation of a new brand, Market 515, which is going to open up It just so happens on my birthday, May 15th, which you might hear a little.
Love it.
Explains the name of it, 515. But there's a deeper meaning in Market 515. It's a small store. It's a neighborhood store in the downtown area of Sacramento. But it'll be mostly natural and organic product line, which is going to be heavily curated, chosen products that are good for you, that have ingredients that are good for you, and the ingredients that are bad for you have been eliminated.
So it's called Market 515. It sounds like a secret code. So you're basically testing something in the middle of Sacramento that, if it works,
would
could
expand.
Change the industry.
Yeah, it would expand. Yeah. So it stands for Market 515. We had to have a meaning to it besides just my birthday, May 15th. There's five senses.
Okay.
You know, taste, touch, feel. And there's five main nutrients that exist for food. And the one between the two fives is organic, natural, and education. So there's a big education element. Our people that work in those stores will be highly educated and understand the products that they're selling.
I love it. Well, my birthday is 2 days after yours. Maybe I'll do Mark 517. I don't have a strategy beyond that, but I like the secret code. I like the idea of doing something, testing something and seeing. And I think we can learn from that. Test something,
yep.
But go all in to do it right. And I think a lot of us can learn from that. So thinking about the grocery industry, we're going to talk after the break a little bit more. You brought in Steve Brand. Camp with you, but thinking about technology and how that is changing the landscape of the grocery business. You want to touch on that before we go to break?
Sure. I think the biggest part of technology that's touched the industry is transformed with scanning, but that's like 40 years old now.
Yeah.
I think digital marketing is a big transformation aspect. In fact, it's the piece that's causing the most struggle within the industry, the online piece. Determining how much of our market growth is being eroded by online shopping. We're fortunate at Raley's. We addressed this early. And out of the conventional markets, we're the only one in the region that's growing. So we have a growing market share. And I believe that's due not only to our mission and purpose, people are recognizing that, but also because of a great, strong digital marketing team.
Yeah, I love it. We've been talking about the potential next generation of Raley's, the family of companies. Mike Teal is sharing his personal story. When we come back, we're going to be bringing on a guy named Steve Brandcamp. He is with United Natural Foods. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney, coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen and California Growth Advisors. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Steve Brandcamp, the sales director of Northern California for United Natural Foods and Tony's Fine Foods and a number of companies. And we also have Mike Teal, owner, CEO of Raley's. We're going to do kind of a three-way discussion. Let's get to know Mike a little bit, though. Mike, give us a little bit of your background, if you don't
Steve.
Mind.
Steve.
Oh, Steve, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jeez. I
should
really know the difference between you two guys. I've been talking to Mike.
Yeah.
Well, similar to Mike, I grew up in the food business. My dad owned a small store in Ohio when I was a kid, a little corner market store, and kind of meat and potatoes in Cincinnati, Ohio. And as I grew up, my dad was the meat and potatoes guy, and my mom was kind of the granola hippie mama.
Ah.
So I actually started working in the natural food industry in the early 90s, 1991, outside of Washington, D.C. for a company called Freshfields. Later, they were acquired by Whole Foods, and I worked in natural retail for quite a while, as well as in the manufacturing side. So I've been in the natural industry since 1991.
So the health food, the healthier lifestyle, obviously it's infiltrating every part of our world. Think about how Raley's is doing it as compared to how the rest of the grocery industry is doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mind.
So Raley's has kind of set the trend for, I think, where we are in corporate, grocery retail. Now, years ago when I started in the industry, it was the goal to get natural products in the conventional grocery store. And Raley's, I think, was one of the first ones to integrate a natural food category within their stores, since they've really developed that throughout the whole store, in options in every category, not just in dry. It wasn't just granola and cereal anymore.
Yeah.
But they've done a tremendous job in getting that to the public so that you don't have to shop 2-3 locations.
Yeah. You know, Mike, we were talking earlier about the shopping experience and getting down these aisles, right? That's where that's part of the goal in running a grocery store, is getting people to be go throughout the entire store. What are you doing at Raley's that helps make that shopping experience, more worthwhile?
It's always difficult to get the customer down every single aisle, and that's where adjacencies are important. So having categories that are related to other categories that draw the customer down the aisle is important. Product placement is also important. And we're actually using product placement to help transition and lead the customer towards healthier purchases. An example would be that in the soup aisle, we moved the traditional soups downward.
Okay.
That aren't quite as healthy, and we placed up at eye level healthier. Now that's the opposite of what traditional grocers would do, because they're paid.
Gotcha.
To do it the different way, and we've decided that the mission is first, so the dollars come second, and I believe the customer loyalty will build on those on that decision.
Well, how does that work? So if you have a supplier like United and you have all these other suppliers, do they pay you for shelf space, or how does that transaction work?
In the traditional conventional grocery store, it's a big factor. What we call in the industry CPGs, consumer product groups, they fund product placement. They fund advertising or promotional activities. And within UNFI, which is they're primarily natural foods products, those smaller companies that produce these products, that's changing. There are big companies that are starting to buy up these smaller natural and organic product lines because the other ones aren't selling. They don't work with funding as much. You don't see that because they don't have the dollars to make those kinds of choices.
Yeah,
you want to comment on that?
Yeah, the initial investment for, to get into a store like Raley's or any supermarket is relatively high. A lot of the vendors we work with are small startups, regionally based. They're using high quality ingredients, and so there's not that upfront expenditure that they have, and so they kind of negotiate on a free product basis. I'll give you a free case if you can put it on your shelf, and really the benefit there is that typically the product is a little higher cost, so there's a slightly higher margin associated with that. You get a couple more pennies on a can of Amy's soup than you would on a can of Campbell's.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the difference there, too.
What's the most popular product that's inside the Raley stores?
Wow.
Of yours.
The innovation and change in the last year or two has gone faster than anything we've seen in this industry. And so if you look at products that are plant-based alternatives, so alternatives to cheese, like almond cheeses, meat alternatives beyond meat is a meat alternative to hamburger or sausage. Almond milk as opposed to dairy, those have been tremendously fast-growing categories we're seeing.
And within Raley's on your team, you have to have product experts, I'm assuming, that are very, they understand health. Mike, talk to us about the team and the training or the knowledge base that they've got to have in order to put the right stuff on the shelf.
That's been one of the biggest challenges for this transformation, because the traditional merchant was focused on having the vendor come in, listen to them about product growth and what things are moving fast out in the industry, and then taking the data that they garner or they are presenting and making choices to put on their shelf. And now we're asking them are asking our merchants, look at the purchases, look at the data, the customers that we have from our customers, and help make decisions that are based on healthier items. And they have to go to school. They have to learn themselves. But what's helped is positioning ourselves in the industry as a leader in health and wellness, and we're attracting those merchants into the business. Yeah. That have a passion for health and wellness and know about products.
Well, I like going to, I either go to Rayleigh's in Granite Bay or Rayleigh's in Loomis. And I think it's Rayleigh's in Granite Bay where I typically will get like salmon. You guys have already cooked the salmon. All I got to do is throw it in the microwave for a minute. And salmon's healthy, right? Is salmon good for you?
Yeah, okay. It's wild caught. Yeah, yeah, it's great for you. Yeah.
So thinking about like that fresh food, I mean, I'll shop for like one day at a time. Are the habits of the consumer changing where you're not doing that big grocery shopping, as my mom used to call it? You get like two baskets full of stuff. It lasts you for a week and a half. Instead, we're kind of, my wife and I are kind of going every night or every so often. We'll pick up like a day's worth of food. Is that changing?
Yeah, it is. Part of our downfall in the late 2000s was that we become a convenience store. People were just shopping daily.
Yeah.
And the center store was the dry goods, the packaged goods, became a commodity, and it was all about price. We've reversed that, and we're now moving away from this idea that we're convenient to just drop in. And the way we're doing that is through digital marketing. The offers that we produce to our loyal shoppers help them lower the price, and they're buying bigger baskets. So they're shopping more, particularly our online, our e-cart customers. The size of their baskets are growing. They're getting bigger. And that's helping us drive traffic into the stores, out of our competitors, and helping us compete with the likes of Amazon.
Well, Steve, you're from Ohio, so you're here in Sacramento. Your office is here in Rockland. You think about the kind of impact that a company like Rayleigh's can make, the kind of impact that you guys are making from a health conscious standpoint. But talk to us about when you look at a company like Rayleigh's and how much impact they have on the health of the society, but also what they do for the town of Sacramento, for the region. So philanthropic. What are your thoughts when you see somebody so generous as the Teal family?
Yeah,
and Mike Teal.
I actually love it. I've been in Sacramento since 2000, and I have a lot of respect for everything Rayleigh's is doing as far as that goes. I met his mother years ago at a benefit out in Rancho Marietta, and I think that that's what the community needs. This isn't a part of what we do is business day in and day out, but a big part of it is what are we giving back to the community, whether it's healthy food or a workplace environment. Rayleigh's is a great employer. I've actually have a couple of people that work for me that are doing a great job, and their parents worked for Rayleigh's for 20, 30 years. So I think that there's a lot in the community they do, or the workplace. I was in their office earlier, and there's a buzz around that office in West Sacramento. And I think that and what they provide to the community in that respect has been tremendous.
I agree. And just as from an outsider, seeing what you do, Mike, I mean, we are so appreciative of Rayleigh's, of what you do. But can you tell us like what you're most proud of in your since you've grabbed a hold of Rayleigh's and are taking it to this next level?
Wow.
It's hard to narrow it down to one thing.
I don't think of myself as being proud of having done anything, because I think it's everybody else around me that does it. We're a great team. I guess if there is anything that I'm proud of, and this may shock some of our listeners, but it's creating an environment where people can be themselves and feel that they are safe and speak out and say what they want to say. That's really important in business. You need to be trusted, and you need to know that if you have a contrarian view, it's okay. And I think that's helped us really transform this company, and I'm proud of that.
Well, I'm proud, Mike and Steve, that you guys joined me today on the show. I think it was helpful to Sacramento. I'm proud to know you. I know you and I are working on a few things in the community together. So, Mike, thank you. I look forward to knowing you better. Next week, a lot of people know me as I am a food guy, and that's not food. I'm about putting food on the table for my family. That's what entrepreneurship is all about. Next week, We're going to stay with the theme. Next week, Randy and Lisa Peters, catering company, Eric Friedman of Jim Boy's Tacos, and Darren McAdams Food Jets will join us next week on the program. When we return, we will share our takeaways, our closing thoughts about the ripple effect and Mother's Day and entrepreneurship. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
A mother's love is the fuel that enables a normal human being to do the impossible. And my mom right now is, she's in the back nine, maybe on that last hole of her game. And I just got to take a minute to say how appreciative of my mother that I am in my life. And as she gets toward the end of her life, I can just tell you that she has made an incredible ripple effect on our family and on the people that have known her so well. She's been sick for a long time, and it's getting down to the end of the road. But welcome back to the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney. Today we've been talking about Raley's and how the most iconic family business in Sacramento history continues to thrive. We've been talking about moms. We've been talking about relationships because nobody does it alone. I think our moms are always that person in our life that stands by us. And as this Mother's Day weekend, a shout out to all the moms out there that are standing by their children, that are working two jobs to build a better life for their family. You have such an important role to play in building the confidence of your children. And I think that's what my mom was for me. I like to tell the story about, I used to ask my mom, "Mom, are we rich?" And my mom would always say, "Mark, we're rich in love." And I never knew what that meant because we didn't have a lot of money, but she continued always to bring that love to our household. And she encouraged a guy like me to dream, right? I was a C student from Oakmont High School, and my brothers and sisters were all 4.0. But my mom was one of those people that didn't care about my grades. She encouraged me to be me. And, mom, as I think about you on Mother's Day, I just want to say thank you for standing by me through my entrepreneurial endeavors. The first job of selling walnuts with my older brother, door to door, you bought the walnuts for us. You showed us how to crack the walnuts, and we went door to door selling them. And on Christmas, I had that newspaper route with my younger brother, and we delivered the newspaper 365 days a week or a year. And you would get up on the holidays, and you would make us breakfast on those special days. To give us, remind us that somebody cared about us as we were going out there to fight the good fight and building our newspaper route. But you know what, Mom? You were there for me through all my entrepreneurial endeavors until you got sick when I was about 27. And, suddenly you had your brain aneurysm. And I feel like I never got to, talk to that person ever again. And now that you're toward the end of your life, all these years later, all this 20-something, 30 years later, you're down toward the end of your journey here on earth. I just want to say I love you, I appreciate you, and I would be nowhere without you in my life. So I look forward to giving you a hug tomorrow on Mother's Day, and you know that I'm giving you a hug in my heart every day of the year. So as we go to the end of the closing today, just to all the moms out there that are giving their children the courage to dream, to think big, to go for it, to be themselves, to let your children be themselves. Thank you to all the moms out there that do that, that put in all the extra hours working the jobs doing what they do to build a family, because that's the toughest job in the world. So a shout out to all the moms out there that are battling to support us entrepreneurs, to all those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to that mom in your life that's always worth fighting for. Yours. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.